Blog Talk Radio.
Put on the whole armor of God.
But a Christmas without me, a gift powers.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name.
Hallelujah. Live Yahuwah's Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. Yahuwah's Radio, Yahuwah's Ministry. I'll be your host. My name, your seer, Israel. Of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called The Due Order of YHWH People of Israel, part number 19. So we're just going to throw it on the international side and see who all join us. Look on the international side and get a peek and see how many international countries have logged in to take number 19. And we'll go from there. How that sounds? On the international side, all the slots are filled. That's 195 international countries have a representative in for part number 19. And like I said, again, that's a good thing, see, Ray. All right. What's flashing out of New York on the international side there? New York, what's flashing? 105780. 105780. Thank you there, New York, New York. Flashing on the international side is 105780. We're going to bring the elder here and he'll tell you all about who brings this broadcast and how to look forward to tell the elders coming up pertaining to whatever we have said on the broadcast. So don't tell the elders about speaking your own mind. Only speak what you have heard from the previous broadcast. Got it? Log in real good on Pal Talk and get in where you fit in at. If you got any questions pertaining to whatever we have put on the table, come to the microphone and discuss it, and they will give you the answer to it as it is written. So we're going to bring in the elder, and when you meet your brother with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tibbs, Yahuwah bid you see right.
And Yahuwah bless you, see as well, the seed royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hello, Yahuwah there, Elder Mr. Tibbs. Well, got a fine audience. All the slots are still, 195 international countries still. And what's flashing out of New York, New York is 105780. So we're going to leave it like that, 105780, and we'll take a look at a couple of these memos we got on the table, and we'll just play it as it unfolds itself. Mr. Tibbs, the elder, you on the clock, come on.
Once again, Yahuwah Bosh is here, Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. Looks like we have another glorious turnout of people that came to hear the words of Yahuwah. And that number is 105,780 people that came to hear Yahuwah's word. And that's a good thing, because we know we all came to hear the things that most of us can hear, and some listening never understand. And to see those things in the Bible that most of us can see, some looking never find. For it's the misinformed that can do none of these things, because without proper teaching, your directions are either left or right. This is why the words of Yahuwah that is taught makes all this and more possible for the righteous. We have to be aware by knowing the scriptures of those out there, as I said before, that camouflage their evil teachings for righteous learning, even using the Bible scriptures as verbal weapons. You know, we have a lot of turmoil that's going on these days. And most of it has to do with viruses going around affecting people, affecting the way you think, afraid of this, afraid of that, forgetting their Yahuwah. Now, we've heard this term many times, germ warfare. What's it used for? Well, germ warfare is used for the destruction of life when you look that up. But now the definition of a germ is basically a noun. It's a microorganism, especially when disease-producing microbes of a bud, offshoot, or seeds. The rudiment of a living organism, an embryo in its early stages. In the initial stage in development or evolution as a germ, cell, or an ancestral form, something that serves as a source for initial stage of substance development of the germ or an idea. Now, in the real world, let's see how we can use germ in our organization. Now, in the real world, we have some people in the early stages or youth. Look, listen where I'm coming with this now. In their early stages or older, they try to infect others and corruption and the ways of life that causes loss or change of life. Same as a germ, spreading from one to the next. You listen to what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. 19 says, what we know that your body is a temple of the righteous spirit, which is in you, which ye have of Yahuwah, and ye are not of your own. 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify your Yahuwah in your body and in your spirit, which are Yahuwah's. Well, we can't be like the germ, see, well. You have to be righteous, as it said. Keep your temple righteous as created by Yahuwah. Don't contaminate it with other words from different Bibles. We have to keep our souls clean, not infect our mind or body. So then when we go with Psalms 104:20, 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So this is what we're doing. We're studying Yahuwah's word to keep from having our souls destroyed like a germ. And these germs are actually walking around. So knowing that, we welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry that's coming to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahuwah's word, connecting the Bible books for your education, your health, and foods that you should eat and keep in the Sabbath days. And we do this because we know you have not. This is information you all came to seek. Now you found out what you have sought in Yahuwah's ministry that's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open for you is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Generally, we don't have a class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. For the members that don't know when the Sabbath is, the top part of the Sabbath current time starts at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. The temple class starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. Now, we also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of the devices you own. Right on the search line, type www.tribehdh.com. After you click enter, you will see some choices. One of these choices will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you may see menu. But after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name, bring an offering, and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver, and also donations to this ministry. It's greatly appreciated that you give what's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, live. Also to build a school, banquet hall, radio station and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also while there, don't forget to check that calendar. That will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. The calendar explains in biblical detail with scripture when they begin, what they're all about, and when they end. For the live program, this is a feature that's only available during the live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine once again. This time, type in three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as this appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. We're using two email addresses also for the listening members to use. The first is Tribe, that's TRIBEYHDH at gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject answered, or related topics. The other is YHDHYSRAEL at gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. You can even state how our program was enjoyed by you. Now, we have a few numbers that you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first would be the live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number where you can call, leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by anyone of the 69 accounts of Yahuwah's ministry. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., of course, except for Fridays. This program will be repeated after 10:30. To get there, open up any search engine. Right on the search line, type three words of once again, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Just choose the program that you are late logging into, or actually any previous day that you would like to listen. We're also making it possible for the listening members to get a recording of any program by request. Just call that international line to order any particular day or number of days. We're now after the normal broadcasts, and even sometimes during our broadcasts, we're echoing our program over to Pal Talk, listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Yahuwah True Name Teachers. This is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your personal Bible questions. On there will be to answer your questions about the discussed Bible topics or topics put on the table by the elders will be Elder Josiah or Elder Mr. Tibbs, that's myself, along with Seer Israel. One thing, no comments will be taken off topics or multiple text questions answered as I've seen before. Failure to follow these righteous acts, either elder will block or restrict misuse. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, it will continue on Pell Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. So today is another day, but we find that nothing has changed except the number of members that came to hear Yahuwah's word. That's always a good thing. Those that come to commend it, add unto it, only following by those casting the same word we listen to behind their back. They want to hear those favorite verses in the Bible. And after they hear it, they take the verse's meaning totally another way. Oh, we can't forget about the noisemakers, the complainers wanting to be a deceptive listener. The page flippers look like they're paying attention, but they're lost when they're called to speak. They're clearly forgotten. We're only one man or one woman. And seriously, time is not in our favor. But the best is yet to come. Remember, we can only do 100% of what one man or one woman that was Yahuwah created to do in this life. And that's if all possible. Because anyone ever told you they've done 101%, they just lie. Now they're doing the work of another past Yahuwah's creation. That's impossible. We were told that by Yahuwah the Son about the impossible in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 26. 26 says, "And Yahuwah the Son beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with Yahuwah all things are possible." So we're going to find out this evening what our possibilities are. And we're going to do that by asking you to keep your Bibles open, take notes, and find out what our possibilities are. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, Mr. Tiff. Well, that's excellent on your part, so we'll catch you on the bottom part. And that's what it's all about, Steve Ray. So, you know, you have to understand some of you. Right now, your people are reacting, and the more you keep reacting to everything that's said, you're going to study falling in that trap of reaction, reacting to everything. And it's already written what we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to be doing it. So we're going to leave it like that. We're going to see if we can go find Brother Yahuwah Israel. We'll get something going on tape 19. And you help yourself, Steve Ray. You start with yourself, but you have to help yourself according to the mind, and you got to make sure whatever move you're making, you can read it. You know, make sure what you're doing, you can read it. That's the key. If you think you own something, then you're supposed to be able to go in the Bible and read what you're on. And if you line up with this book, then I guess you got it right on with you. We'll leave it like that. And remember, the series, it's a series on the due order. So we have to focus in on more due order, because there's plenty more to say according to what Yahuwah will give you in a time of due order. Check yourself through due order. When you meet your brother, with a loud voice you say, Brother Yahuwah Israel, Yahuwah be your LC, Roy.
God bless you, Sir Israel. A sea royal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Brother Yahuwah Israel. Let's see if we get something going. We don't know what we're going to get going. There are going to be memos. And so many memos come in as we come to the network. And some of them look very interesting. But how about a little Luke, chapter 12, verse 12, Brother Yahuwah Israel. Let's see. Can we get a little of that on the clock for Cape 19 to come up?
Book of Luke, chapter 12. Verse number 12 reads, For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
Excellent, that, Brother Yahuwah Israel. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And that's a great thing there, Brother Yahuwah Israel. So let's take a look at a few things. So, this memo is very interesting here, but I don't know. Let's run to 2nd Ezra chapter 8, chapter 4. Let's look at verse 26 and 31. Let's look at Cape 19, 2nd Ezra chapter 4, verse 26 and 31. Let's see what we can get out of this there, Brother Yahuwah Israel. 2nd Ezra chapter 4, 26 and 31. Come on.
Book of 2nd Ezra chapter 4, verse 26 and verse 31 reads. Book of 2nd Ezra 4, verse 26. Then after he me and said, The more thou searchest, the more thou shalt marvel. For the world hasted fast to pass away. Verse 31. Ponder now by yourself a great fruit of wickedness, the grain of evil seed have brought forth.
Well, evil seed have brought forth a lot of things. But one thing we got to remember, one thing, see, right? You know, they hinting around to you that prices one day gonna go up and a lot of things gonna change on your seed, Roy, and we come to tell you, especially the anointed camps, look out there in that backyard of yours and you find you in a kind of corner, throw a pod in that earth a little bit and strap a little seeds down in there, because like I said again, when according to how they orchestrating a food shortage
to come. We're supposed to be far in advance on any of that, on any of that, because we was told by Jeremiah in 29:4-8. What did Jeremiah tell the children of the book in the 29th chapter, Jeremiah 4 down to verse 8? He was talking to the children of the book, and he said something to them. He looked them eyeball to eyeball and said something to them in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah 4 down to verse 8. What do you say, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 4 through 8, read. Look at Jeremiah 29, verse 4. The say of Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh of Israel, to all that are carried away captive, whom I have called to be carried away from Yahweh Judah, southern kingdom, unto Babylon. Verse number 5. Fill you houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Verse 6. Take you wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands. They may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. Verse 7. And seek the peace of the city, where they have called you to be carried away captive. Pray unto Yahweh for it, where in the peace thereof shall you have peace. Verse 8. For the sake of Yahweh of hope, Yahweh of Israel, and not your shepherds and your diviners, that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which you call to be dreamed.
Mm-hmm. So he's telling you, but he's saying you take your wives. He said, take you some wives now. But that's the key. He's saying you take you something to work with. Make sure, and the reason why he said that, but he also said, told Sarah in the 6th chapter, verse 36, and we'll read till we get our point. He also said something in the book of Sarah, chapter 6, verse 36, and let's read a little bit. 36 down to verse 40. He said something else. He said, take your wives now, get children and get your act together. But he also said something in Sarat 6, 36 down to verse 40. What did he say there, Brother Yahdai Ezra, in Sarat 6 down to verse 40?
The book of Sarat, chapter 6. It runs to 37, it's cut off point.
Okay, good.
Book of Sirach, chapter 6, verse 35 to 37. Verse 35. Be willing to hear every Yahqual discourse. Let not the parable understand escape you. Verse 36. If thou seest a man of understanding, get you betimes unto him. Let your foot wear the step of his door. Verse 37. Let your mind be upon the ordinance of Yahqual, and meditate continually in his Torah structure, Sabbath thy mind, to give you wisdom at your own desire.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. But I need a little bit more. And I need a little bit more. How about try me some Sirach 36? Because he's telling you what to do. He's telling you to make you gardens and lots. So he's telling you exactly what to do. Make you gardens. I mean, you see, look out in your backyard now. You might see a bunch of whatever. You see a bunch of pretty flowers in your mind. Them flowers, unless you're going to have some Ezra in you, you might have to eat them flowers one day coming soon. So don't too much worry about all that making your yard the most prettiest yard on the block. Make sure you got a couple of limes in there with some green food in there, you know. Make sure some green food is kind of parted and drop some seeds down and cover them up. Let's go to Sirach 36:22. Let's see if we can get our point there. I'm looking for a certain a profound statement, because he said, take you wives, or make sure your company got to be a certain way that Yahweh have a requirement for it. Let's see in 36 chapter, particular verse 22. Maybe we get our point through this. Sirach 36, particular verse 22, that come on.
The book of Sirach 36, verse number 22 reads, the beauty of a woman cheers the continent, and a man loving nothing better.
Right.
Verse 23. If there be kindness, meekness, comfort in her tongue, yet is not her husband like other men. Verse 24. If they get of a wife, begin of a possession, a help like unto himself, and a pillar of rest. Verse 25. Where no hedge is, there the possession is spoiled. And he that have no wife will wander up and down mourning. Verse 26. Who would trust a thief? Well appointed, that skippeth from city to city. So who will believe a man that have no house and lodging wheresoever the night taketh him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm missing a statement there, Brother Yacht Guy Israel. You know, I'm missing me a statement somewhere. And verse 24, I'm looking for me a statement somewhere. Maybe you have to pull me out. Oh, I tell you, don't get you a light one. So that's going to point back to that garden we're talking about. So now, that's a statement we're looking for. So it's time out on doing the St. John 7:24. In the same token, we have one eye cocked on a verse saying, don't get you no light woman. And he not talking about weight-wise. He talking about in the mind, see, right? So, because he said you got to get away from the St. John 7:24. What does it say in St. John 7:24?
The book of St. John, chapter 7, verse number 24 reads, St. John 7, verse number 24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge to instructional judgment.
Mm-hmm. Now let's go back and see if we find, get me out there, Brother Yacht Guy Israel. We own some, but what we own, we don't know. But that early statement was build houses and do gardens. But you can't be doing all this if you got you a light woman. Let's see what that means, that brother. I need to hear that verse read. Then maybe we can find something that tie in with that. A light woman. What you working with, Brother Yacht Guy Israel? Come on.
The book of Sirach, chapter 7, verse number 26 reads, as thou a wife after your mind, forsake her not. Give not yourself over to a light woman.
No. Okay. There you go. And I definitely had 7:26 on my mind, but that had a great impact. Read that verse again in that verse of 7:26. That had a whole lot of impact. So that got two things in one, in that one verse. So Sirach was told two things in one verse. He said, what again in 7:26 of the book of Sirach? What do you say again, Brother Yacht Guy Israel?
Sirach 7, verse 26. Have thou a wife after your mind, forsake her not. Forgive not yourself over to a light woman.
Mm. So you're supposed to have a mate after your mind. So when you talk about, well, I'm looking for somebody to be with me, and the key to it is your mate have to be after your mind, because it goes back to 3:16. So sometimes you sit there and you watch somebody run off at the mouth. You say, well, if that person run off at the mouth, then that means I just went against scripture right there, because my mate's supposed to be after my mind. And if my mind is standing here and her mouth is gone, then that means the scripture right there have been broken right there. That means
that we have to, the only way back, we're going to have to line up with this book, because remember we read earlier about that you have to now get a garden together, but it was already prophesied in Jeremiah's day. And now we're hearing things saying that, you know, down the pipe there's going to be a food shortage. But we've been telling off those that had an ear to hear to start parting the ground back a little bit, start putting some seeds down there. And that's why you had worked. Then you have to have a woman that's not like-minded to be just, you know, that's good that you clean up real good, but somebody got to be putting something down in that garden. If there's no more than a little corner you got, might have a little gangway somewhere. Well, I stay where I got a little, take that gangway and take a wreck and open that wreck and wreck some, just part the earth and drop some in there and keep some water on it. And that's what you got to have, because if it hit, you know, then you're supposed to have something sitting on the side of your, you know, little Porsche baking lot somewhere. You know, somebody go in and get something out, you know, hey, let them have it. But what you're doing what Yahweh told you to do is plant you a garden. So if you see a little strip somewhere land by, even if you're in an apartment somewhere, you see a little piece of the lot somewhere, a little piece of ground somewhere, just, you know, take a wreck and wreck it until it open up a little bit. Drop you a few seeds in there and start growing something right there in the corner. Don't be worrying about all the little pretty flowers all the time, because one thing about it, Yahweh said, make you gardens and don't cause no trouble. But what do you mean by not cause no trouble? You ain't got to get off into nothing but what Yahweh said. If you practice getting off into what Yahweh is saying, then you're not making no trouble. But anytime you worry about the society of the world, then you're causing trouble on yourself. So you got to understand all these good stuff. So look on the side of your house somewhere. You see where there ain't nothing happening in that? Put a rake up in there. Open that ground up a little bit. Drop a couple seeds up in that ground. By the summertime come again, you will have something sitting to the side just in case something happens. Because Yahweh, remember what he do in Isaiah 46:9-11. Do you know what he told Jeremiah to tell you that? He hadn't told Isaiah prior to that in the 46:9-11. What he saying in 46:9-11, that brother Yahweh Israel?
Book of Isaiah 46, verse 9-11, read. Book of Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things, the votes, for I am Yahweh. There is none else. I am Yahweh, and there is none like me. Verse 10. Declare the end from the beginning. From ancient time, the things that are not yet done, saying, my conscience shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a raven and bird from the east, the man that executed my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it.
So if he called the end from the beginning, and was told of Jeremiah to tell the children of the book to make gardens, you know, have a family, make gardens. So by him calling the end from the beginning, that should wet your beak a little bit to make sure you line up with that. So if you see anything that's closed by your house, don't worry about who's going in it or the protection of Yahweh. It's over whatever you do if you're doing Yahweh's business. You ain't got to worry about nothing but one thing, doing what the man's saying. If somebody come and take out a couple of them green pieces that you got, you let them have it. As long as they don't come bring no shopping cart. If they ain't got a shopping cart, look here. You got a shopping cart? No. Now you're out of order. You can take what your hands can take with you, because you might be starving to death too, you know, but and went by saying, well, what we going to go on is just love. Now, you go on more than just love. You can't, you got to make sure the one that you get with is a person after your mind. And the mind of what is said through Jeremiah is to get something going on in the ground. Plant a few things and make sure what you plant, what you put in the ground, make sure it got some 130 of Genesis in it. What are you saying in 130 of Genesis there, Brother Yahdai Israel? So when you put something in the ground, when you take that rake up or whatever, you take even a shovel, just open the ground up, put some up in there. But make sure whatever you put up in there, it reflects back to Genesis 1 verse 30. What is it saying 1 verse 30?
Look at Genesis 1 verse number 30 reads, every beast of the earth, every fowl of the earth, everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, have given every green herb for meat, and it was so.
Mm-hmm. So make sure whatever she put down in the ground while you at work, make sure that it produced green stuff, green food, say right here. Green food you want down there in the ground, green food. Make sure it's green because the Bible supports it being green food. That's why you got to make sure that you have a better half after your mind. But how do you supposed to be? You supposed to be a 37:12. Now, for her to be after your mind, make sure you, Mr. Big Bridges, is a 37:12 of Genesis. I mean, Sarah. Make sure that you are a 37:12. What is it saying, 37:12 of Sarah?
Because Sarah chapter 37, verse number 12 reads, but be continually with the Yahqualy man, whom you know. Keep the Torah instructions of Yahuwah, whose mind is
mm-hmm.
according to your mind.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's the groundwork that you have to make sure that you don't just make a calling on appearance or Mr. Needmore. Well, I better get with him because, you know, Mr. Needmore, you see, that can cause you more trouble because he might be just a British man, not a Yahqualy man. If you're not a Yahqualy man, then you're in a crapshoot. In a crapshoot now. Might work, but according to the Bible, what's the show thing is do it the way the Bible tell you to do. That's why, and stop making moves without having counsel. Six anointed counselors prepared to counsel you according to the Bible on whatever circumstance it is. You have to be having counsel, and they'll tell you up front exactly where you stand by understanding your speech. And once we understand your speech, we can tell you exactly what you're working with. But, you know, if we come for counseling and then We see things contrary to the book, we're gonna tell you exactly what it is and all that. We according to the Bible, it's not gonna work because the first thing you have to realize that Yahuwah made the presidents in 3:16 of the book of Genesis. He's saying so in 3:16. What do you say in 3:16 of Genesis, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Look at Genesis 3, verse number 16 reads. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse number 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrows and your conception. The sorrow you shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you.
Mm-hmm. And then he told Sarah in 26:26 what? And what he told Sarah to put down. Understand something. If you're going to do the will of Yahuwah, then you have to be able to understand one thing. if that man is not ruling over you, you're not in the will of Yahweh. If that man treats you like Teddy Pendergrass 50-50 love, then you're not doing Bible. You're just doing flesh. Man's supposed to rule over his mate. His mate's supposed to be after his mind. Then you in the will of Yahweh. Which one you think gonna stand? Or just being a 50-50? Well, what do you think on this? And what the? Or you do it Yahweh way? Why don't you try to do it Yahweh way? Because one thing about it, we found out one thing, what he got written, he's going to stand. And Sirach 26:26 says what?
Book of Sirach 26, verse 26 reads, a woman that honored her husband to be judged wise of all, she that dishonored him in her pride to be counted on Yahweh of all.
Can you see that? So Sarah was told, when you got a mate, she's supposed to honor you. She's supposed to honor you. Go out her way because her desires to you are supposed to go out her way to please you. She's supposed to study your mind, and you're supposed to tell her your mind on what you want to be done and what you don't want to be done. Now, guess what? You in the will of Yahweh. See, so once we understand something, we get in the will of Yahweh, then we can get something going on. Now, so that's very important, because you're going to have a lot of married wants to be couples, and they're going to come before the six anointed camps. So you have to look at what you're looking at from the speech and go in the book and see, is it a quick fix or will it work? But see, they have to know from the get-go your desires to be to that man, and that man got to be a Yahweh man, and he's supposed to, according to Yahweh, rule over you. That means you don't have a comeback out of the mouth. When he say what he say, that's going to be the first word and the last word. No comebacks. Not saying why. No whys or nothing. You know why your folks say no why? Because we can read when the Holy Spirit came upon Philip. And let's see if we catch a word called why. We don't know what Philip was doing. But the middle spirit came up on him in 8:26, and let's see what did the middle spirit say, and let's see if we get a why out of it. Why me or why I? See, if we won't know what to do today, we look back at yesterday. So we're going to actually take a look at something in the book of Acts. And once we line up with the Bible, because everything that's on the clock is ticking now, see, Reyes. Don't you see what he said? Gonna happen to you in the 14th chapter? Pestilence that you call cobra. You call all kind of plagues, diseases, and all type of getting hemmed up and sons losing their life by going to restaurants, coming back, all type of things. It's already what said gonna happen to you. Don't you see it happen to you? So now you need to know how to prepare yourself. And we're trying to tell you now how you prepare yourself is to make sure what you own is not appearance or trying to make someone comfortable. Make sure you comfortable in Yahweh's word. Now, Philip, he was just getting ready to go have dinner. And something happened in verse 26. While he was just getting ready to go and sit down at the timely meeting of a dinner, look what happened in three lines in 8:26 of Acts. Give me three lines, Brother Yahdai Israel.
Book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 26. The minister spirit of Yahweh spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south.
You see? And the minister spirit said to Philip, arise and go to the south. God told him. What did Philip do? Give me 3 lines in verse 30. Let's see what he did. Let's see exactly what he did in verse 30.
Verse number 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read
and
the seer Isaiah.
And Philip ran thither to him. So what for him to do? He said, arise and go to the south. And Philip broke out running and came to the nation. Don't worry about the subject matter, but we're showing you about how you're supposed to act when Yahweh tells you something. And so he put that authority in man to lead his family. But that started all the way back in the 18th chapter, verse 17 through 19. So it's nothing that we cannot read. So a Yahweh man, you're supposed to be able to make decisions according to Scripture. You're supposed to have a first word to it and a last word to it. And when you get through talking, you're supposed to look back and see nobody looking like the Green Hulk. I'll swole all up and then say, why? See? That's why I tell you, you got to have counseling before you get off into what you're in, because Yahweh is not going to intervene into anything unless due order on the table. Yahweh is not going to intervene if you ain't got no due order. He ain't going to intervene. You just moving on a crapshoot. Because according to the Bible, this is what the man is saying. So if you got a light woman, that means with KUY, why do I got to do that? Why? Instead of understanding what the Bible's saying, your desires is to that mate, and he shall rule over you. Because the same thing, the son was put on the same spot, and he led by example. And what he said in the 12th chapter, verse 49 and 50. What he said in St. John, listen to what he said. So listen to what he says about himself in St. John 12, 49 and 50. What did he say that, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Book of St. John, chapter 12, verse number 49, verse number 50 read. St. John 12, verse number 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but Yahweh the Father which sent me gave me a commandment what I should say, what I should speak. Verse 50. And I know that this Torah instruction is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as Yahweh the Father said unto me, so I speak.
See, the man just said, he said, whatever he say to me, that's what I do. That's what I speak. And that's the same authority he has put in the hand of the Yahweh man. So you got to make. If you're not lined up with the Bible saying, then you're up on the crapshoot. You're up on the crapshoot, King Roy. Until you play the role that Yahweh the Son played according to his Father, then you're working on a crapshoot in a relationship. Now, we're going to precept that and see what he says in Philippians behind that. He said, yeah, still sounds pretty good, but you own something, but put some Philippians chapter 2 on there. And the key word that's going to be in there, you know what he says? Whatever the Father say, that what he do. There's another word he got there in place of that word. And we're going to see exactly what that word is. There's another word, but remember, we're going to see what we can read. And we're going to comment in verse 8, 2 verse 8. Now, he said, whatever the Father telling him to say and do, that's what he do, right?
So what's another word for it? Precept your Bible in 2 verse 8 and see what word is there. 2 verse 8.
The book of Philippians 2, verse number 8 reads, be found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the tree.
Ain't that something? Obedience. That goes into that thing right here. Because you know what you have, you know, if you remember growing up in life, you know, when old father was around, he said, look here, get over there and do such thing, and I'm gone. And they'll say, oh, Mom, do I got to do that? No, that's okay, I'll take care. You ain't got to do that. See, now you remember when you used to do that, right? You used to go to Mom and say, Mom, do I have to do that? But instead of her saying, what did my Yahuwah say? Then that's the end of it. But no. And that's what I mean by getting a light one. A light one will look at, that's too hard. That don't do that. Don't hook him that hard. Don't. See, that's the point we make it, see, right? And that's why we got our kids today, family you hear about, they so disobedient. Hope I said the word right. Might get 100 calls on it if I didn't say it right. The father must take his position. He must take the lead role and rule his family. And the better half supposed to hear his instruction. And then whatever you did not catch or hear, you say to whoever there, what did my Yahuwah say? Well, he said, well, then that's the end of it. Whatever he said, that's the end of it. And that's how you build a strong relationship in the family, because all this information will be needed for them when they get out in the streets. Because you got more violence from the parents through the kids and the manipulation, because the order of things is not done. When the father makes a statement, better half don't even have to hear what was said. But you're supposed to automatically say, that's the end of it. Whatever he said, that's the end of it. Then you know what? Y'all be saying, oh, that ain't not what I'm talking about. Because that's what I laid down in Genesis 3:16. And that would remain in effect until the return of Yahuwah the Son that gave the sentence in the garden. So when you violate that, you're not violating that man. You violate Yahuwah's order. And the series about the due order of YHWH. So when you talk back to that man, you violating Yahuwah's order. That's the way it is. That's why you got to make sure the man is a Yahuwah the name. It's not just a pair of britches. If he leave orders for you to do, then you have it done. If he tell you, look at order some fringes and send you some fringes and all our clothes and sit around and don't give him, no talk. Do what the man tell you do. Order them fringes. Pay with the credit card, whatever you do. Sit there and get them shirts ready and get them fringes on the clothes and keep it moving. The son, if you're going to follow the son, he follows the father. The same thing got to be passed on. And guess what happened in Sirach chapter 3, verse 9 and 11? What happened? Because see, it's written in Sirach. If everything is done the way the Bible tells to do it, then Sirach chapter 3, verse 9 and 11, come in your household. What it says? Sirach 3, 9 and 11 says what?
Book of Sirach chapter 3, verse number 9, verse number 11 reads. Sirach 3, verse number 9. For the blessing of the father established a family, children, but the curse of the mother rooted out the foundation. Verse number 11. For the honor of a man is from the honor of his father, and a mother in dishonor is a reproach to her family.
Anytime she makes any statements that's negative about her Yahuwah, then that's where the approach kick in at. Because the son didn't make no negativity approach about what Yahuwah the father told him to do, has the same mindset you got to do. That's why I tell you in 2 verse 5 Philippians, look what it says. Now we go back to Philippians again and get some more out of it. So look what it says in 2 verse 5 and 6. 2, 5, and 6. Listen to this right here.
The book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse number 5, verse number 6 reads. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Yahuwah the Son. Verse 6. Who being in the form of Yahuwah, thought in that robbery, be equal with Yahuwah.
Right. He understood his role, He listened, and he, and what was told him to do, he done it, even obedience to what he had, what he read. So he was obedience all the way. And then you see right here. So we get a lot of memos based upon why so many book and families and everything. That's because one thing about it, that's what it's serious about is order. But how is you going to be in order unless you hear order? You can't look, you cannot give counseling pertaining to what you in or what you have been brought up with. All counseling must come from the Bible. The Bible. When you're counseling someone, make sure it's not about, well, what did you do in this case? It's not the form what I did. But that was a capture what I was doing in that case. We got to see what the Bible say to do in that case for you. See, we got to make sure we clear that you can't look at what I'm on because I might be just that sentence that just made it. And you got to go with the Bible on every decision you make. It must be a Bible decision. And then Yahuwah, he'll champion that. And he'll tell you real plain over here in Proverbs chapter 7. There's some things he'll tell you in advance. He asked Solomon, he said, Solomon, what is your desire? He said, well, all I want to do in 2 Chronicles, we're not going to read. All I want to do is govern Israel. He said, yeah. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Since you're talking the right stuff to me, I'm gonna make you the wisest man in the world and the richest man in the world. I'm going to put all that, I'm going to store all that on you. So now when Solomon writes, he writes from the perspective of being the wisest man in the world. Let's see what the wisest man in the world wrote in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1, 10, 11. So you got to go with him because Yahuwah gave him the wisdom to put this in writing. Proverbs 7, verse 1, 10, and 11. What do you say there, brother? Y'all got it here?
The book of Proverbs, chapter 7, verse number 1, verse 10, and verse number 11 reads. Book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Proverbs, chapter 7, verse number 1. My son, keep my words. Lay out my Torah instructions with you. Verse 10. Behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, a subtil of mind. Verse 11. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide of not in her house.
So you see, so now he met him a woman. But look at the woman he met. She was loud and she was stubborn. So now what's that's the recipe according to the Bible? By having a loud woman and stubborn. You tell her what to do, She tell you why. I ain't gonna do it. See? Fair enough. She's loud and she's stubborn. That means she just went against what Yahweh said in 3:16. Your desire, and you're supposed to honor that man. When that man tell you to do something, that's the end of it. Your desire is exact. So when you cross that barrier against that Yahweh man, you ain't. Here it is in 1 Samuel chapter 7. He said, see, give him a case in point. Okay, we'll give you a case in point. And 1 Samuel chapter 8. Look at that in verse 7. Look at this right here. Yahweh talking again. We're talking to Samuel still. Look what he says in one verse. 1 Samuel 8, verse 7. What did he say?
The book of 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse number 7. Yahweh said unto Samuel the seer, hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto you. For they have not rejected you, they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them.
Yeah. He said, go and tell them, Samuel. And do what they tell you to do. They love it. See, remember one thing. Yahweh made plain in 8:31 of Romans. What he says to you in 8:31 of Romans?
Book of Romans 8:31 reads, what shall we then say to these things? If Yahweh be for us, who can be against us?
See, we, out of the six anointed camp, we ain't trying to win the popularity contest. Because we know that we despise, and we keep reading that verse and tell you more about it from everywhere. That's understandable. But we got the game changer, and all we got to do is play with the game changer, tell us, and again, read that verse again, and 8:31 of Romans. See, watch the game changer. Pick on the game changer up before your eyes. What does it say?
The book of Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If Yahweh be for us, you can be against us.
So you see that, see, right here? The main thing, you better make sure you don't worry about somebody's eyes went up or their eyes went down. Make sure clearly the decision you made was a Yahweh move that Yahweh got written. Because if Yahweh is with you, then whatever is on the table is not going to stand. Because Yahweh is with you. And that's what he said. We're not reading in 14 verse 9. He said, the children of Israel out of the mouth of Hosea. He said, don't be rebellious and a stiff neck and a murmur and a complainer. He said, the nation is bred for us, but you got to follow anointed leadership. Because when Yahweh is with you, you don't worry about what's against you. Because Yahweh, you read, he got the first word and the last word. See, that's the key, see, right? And that's the same way you're supposed to be. First word, last word. Let's go to Ephesians 5:31. Pull that verse from the same when we read it over there in that 7:16. Paul, pull that verse. Now, Paul, he was teaching the Northern Kingdom. So Paul, just all he does is read the book and pull it. He stood upon the Northern Kingdom. And he said this to them in 5:31. What did he say in 5:31 of Ephesians?
Book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 31 reads, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, but shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh.
One flesh. But the one flesh is after your flesh. If you don't get nothing else out of this, especially the six anointed counts when they come before you, because it's already said in the ninth chapter, First Kings. Once you have the ability to take care of Yahuwah's business, like in 2 Kings chapter 9, let me show you got the ability to do exactly what you know you're working this right here in 9 verse 1 down to verse 3. Let's see what it says in 2 Kings 9, 1, 2, and 3. Listen to this right here. They read 6 and 12. 1, 2, and 3, verse 6 and 12. Listen to this right here. Listen to these instructions. And that's what we come to do, is give you instructions for you to make the right decision according to the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 9, 1, 2, 3, 6, and 12. Brother Yahdai Israel, come on.
Book of 2 Kings chapter 9. Verse number 1, 2, and 3. Verse number 6. Verse number 12 reads. Book of 2 Kings 9. Verse number 1. And Elisha the seer called one of the children of the seer and said unto him, gird up your loin and take this box of oil in thy hand and go to Ramah Gilead. Verse number 2. And when I comest thither, look out there, Yahu, son of Josaphat, the son of that sheep, and go in and make him arrive up from among his brothers and carry him to an inner chamber. Verse number 3. Then take the box of oil and pour it on his head and say, the Savior Yahuwah, I have anointed you king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. Verse number 6. He arose and went into the temple and he poured the oil on his head, the Savior Yahuwah of Israel. I have anointed you king over the people of Yahuwah, even over Israel. Verse number 12. They said, it is false. Tell us now. He said, thus and thus spake he to me, saying, thus saith Yahuwah, I have anointed you king over Israel.
Mm-hmm. So you see, our position is much bigger than the broad and the narrow. See, we getting prepared to do some big things, but we got to get in order. And how you get in order is knowing what the Bible says here right here. You got to know the order of the Bible. You must know that the decision you're making is not based upon appearance. It's a decision of the Bible. See, you got to make a Bible decision. That don't tell you something. That's what you got to do. And go back to Sirach 26 again. And look at verse 14 and 16. I gotta get a little bit more out of that. In Sirach chapter 26, verse 14 and 16 says what? Sirach 26, 14 and 16.
The book of Sirach chapter 26, verse number 14, verse 16 reads. Sirach 26, verse number 14. A silent and loving woman is a gift of Yahuwah. There's nothing so much work as a mind well instructed. Verse 16. As a sun when it arises in the high heaven, so is the beauty of a good wife in the order of her family.
What word did you just use again there, brother? Now you lay a nice glove down. You just can't half step through that word. You just laid a heavy word there in verse 16. And we got to hear it again. What is it again?
Verse number 16. As the sun when it arises in the high heaven, so is the beauty of a good wife and the ordering of her family.
Ordering of a what? What's the last word you got there, brother Yahdai Israel?
Ordering of her house.
What word is there?
Of her house.
Meaning you got to order her to make sure everything in order the way you want it to be. You got to make sure you tell her how you want everything to be done. and keep on to do it. And that's why you have to make sure you is in the right counseling. You understand? You just ain't ordering things because you got some britches on. You got to make sure everything is in order because you is the Yahuwah of that family. So, you know, you hear men talk about, I got a little cone over here, and they call that thing of the man cave or something like that. What you mean you got a little man cave? Oh, yeah, this is my little man cave. Like, brother, that's in the basement over there in the right-hand corner somewhere. That little spot is not supposed to be your man cave. Yeah, from the gate all the way to the back, supposed to be your man cave. Not just no little spot, but this is my, this is, no. According to the Bible, from the time as soon as you get off the sidewalk and touch the gate, your man cave starts right there. And everything in that household will be going the way you have set it up to go. That's the order and the steps. And you got to order the steps how it to be. Because it's already prophesied in chapter 18, verse 17 through 19. Ain't nothing we saying that we can't read. In Genesis, this, remember, you got your forefathers called Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, right? Right? Okay, good. Let's see what Yahuwah says about your forefathers that produced Isaac and Israel. He's going to look at the mental spirits that came down from heaven with him. And he go eyeball to eyeball with them in the 18th chapter, verse 17 through 19. And all he wants to hear, what was said? He left it for us to hear it in writing, 18, 17 through 19. What was said there, Brother Yahya?
Book of Genesis, chapter 18, verse number 17 through 19, read. Book of Genesis 18, verse 17. And Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Verse number 19. For I know him, that he will command his family after him, and they shall keep the way of Yahuwah to do justice, judgment, that Yahuwah may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him.
Seriously, so command me on order. That means he's going to order, and you know what he's going to get out of it by ordering. Let me show you that Peter pulled that statement. He said, I know what Abraham going to do. Abraham, he's going to order his family. Now Peter going to pull that verse, and let's see what was going on. Let's see about what was said when Peter pulled that 2,000-3,000 years later. So Peter pulled a statement, and this is what he says here. Now, Peter's talking to the elders. And he pulled that statement in the third chapter of 1 Peter. And let's see that 2,000-3,000 years later, let's see exactly what was said in verse 5 and verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. This is about 3,000-4,000 years, 2,000-3,000 years later. Now, Peter's going to pull that verse, and let's see what he says in 1 Peter 3, verse 5 and 6. What did he say?
Book of 1 Peter 3, verse number 5, verse number 6 reads. Book of 1 Peter 3, verse number 5. For after this manner in old times, the righteous women, also who trusted in Yahuwah, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. Verse number 6, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Yahuwah, daughter you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement.
That was 1,000 years later. So he He reflects all the way back to what we just got through hearing. Because Yahweh said, I know what Abraham going to do by calling Abraham, didn't he? He's going to order his family. He's going to order them. And guess what Yahweh said he was going to do in Psalm chapter 50? And that's the key scene right here. So we look at people that say, well, you got to make? Okay, well, I see you. But where is your, where you made it? Then they give a song and dance. But see, we know then and now. And you're not doing Bible because your mate will be like your mind. And you're supposed to lead by according to the Bible. That's why you got to get anointed leadership that can tell you exactly what you, how you walking and how you talking. Because if you're doing Yahweh's word, a word, then when you got a better half, then it's no mouth to be said whatsoever. It's what you say. That's the end of it. See? That's when you know you're lining up with Yahweh. You ain't lining up with Yahweh by having a better half and your better half doing what she wants to do. Because that's going thing of Genesis. That's going contrary to Sirach 26:26. Huh? So, the day that you start doing Bible, the day you will start seeing the blessing coming to your family. But them puffed up spirits got to be taught, brought down, all the way down, and the obeying got to be. So that means plainly that man's supposed to be a 37:12. So if you don't have a 37:12, you should not even be in a relationship anyway. And that's the key right there. What we're reading that, Brother Yah Guy Israel?
The book of Psalms, chapter 50.
Chapter 50, especially that brother Yahweh Israel. See, because Yahweh said he was telling the world to David. He said, I'm going to tell you something. We know we see they all out of order, but I'm going to tell you, but leaders in writing, because all I'm going to pick it up is those that got a ear to hear. Verse 21. Let's see what it says in 50:21. Look what he says here in 50:21. It's going to happen. Because you know why it don't happen? It's written from the Father. Father told the Son. Son told the Holy Spirit. It brought it down to David. And David put it in writing. What do you got in 50:21?
Psalm 50. Verse 21 reads, these things have thou done, and I kept silent. Thought is that I was altogether such a one as yourself. I reprove you and set them in order for your actions.
I'm going to reprove you, 17 nations, headed by Esau and his five sons. I'm going to reprove you, and I'm going to set the peoples of the book in order before your eyes. And that's what the lesson's all about. Once we... You understand you got to get in order. It got to be order done. And order starts when the Yahweh of the family leaves instructions on business as to be. It ain't no swim up like the Hulk or no why. Why? Why are you telling me to do that? Huh? That's when you know that's not the will of Yahweh. Because there will be no mouth said whatsoever. Because Yahweh put that in 3:16, that it's going to remain, and this is the way it's going to be until I get back. If there's anything that's outside of that, you're working on a crap shit. Keep that in your mind. Now, so now let's go back to slide 25. But now, So you're in bad shape behind that, huh? So now, then what do Yahuwah got written on that? Let's go to Surah 25:15-26. Remember, he told Moses. Let me see. Neglect the numbers 14. Let me show you. Told Moses. He told Moses something. He told Moses something in the 14th chapter. This is what he told Moses. And you gotta understand something. If Yahuwah told Moses this, don't think that applies to you if you understand you're in the world of Yahuwah. Then he told Moses. He told Moses something. What did he tell Moses something? He said, in 14, verse 11 and 12. Let's see, he told Moses. Numbers 14, verse 11 and 12. What did he say? Now listen to what Yahuwah told Moses. Now, Moses had around about anywhere between 2 to 6 million people was with Moses. Moses was the head man. Aaron was a seer. But Yahuwah looked Moses eyeball to eyeball and said something to him. And that's what he said in verse 11 and 12. Let's see what he says in verse 11 and 12.
Book of Numbers, chapter 14. Verse number 11, verse number 12, I read. The book of Numbers 14, verse 11. Yahuwah said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have shown among them. Verse 12. I will smite them with the pestilence, disinherit them, and will make of you a greater nation and mightier than they.
You hear he told Moses? Moses sitting out there with 6 million people out there, and he said, I'm going to kill every last one of them, and I'm going to make you a great nation. That means you're the man to say it? That means one thing. Yahuwah was not pleased with the family of Israel. And Yahuwah said, I'm going to kill every last one of them, but I'm going to save you, Moses, and make you a greater nation than that. Now, you know that. That's a lot of power. So what that supposed to mean? That means when you say something, that's the end of it. Because Yahuwah, if he put you there, he can put something else there behind it. You make sure you line up with Yahuwah. He will take out every Israelite and start Moses all back over again. Even if you got to start over, you make sure you line up with some dust as Yahuwah. And that will stop the problem if these men would do the Bible and stop doing the get along. If you do Bible, Yahuwah gonna intervene. If you keep on doing, well, what do you think about that? Or you hearing back talk, you're not doing Bible. You're doing world. And what Yahuwah got for that? He got Sarah back on the table. And this what he got on table in Surah 25:15-26. And we're just gonna take a look at what's on table, and we all gonna comment on what we hear. What we hear in Surah 25:15 on to verse 26.
The book of Surah, chapter 25, number 15-26 reads. Book of Surah, chapter 25, verse number 15. There is no head above the head of a serpent. There is no wrap above the wrap of an enemy. Verse 16. I'd rather dwell with a lion and a dragon than to keep house with a wicked woman. Verse 17. The wickedness of a woman changes her face, darkens her countenance like sackcloth. Verse 18. Husband shall sit among his neighbors. And when he hear it, shall sigh bitterly. Verse 19. All wickedness is but little to the wickedness of a woman. Let the portion of a sinner fall upon her. Verse number 20. As the climbing up a sandy way is to a feet of the aged, so that the wife full of words to a quiet man. Verse 21, stubborn not at the beauty of a woman, and desire her not for pleasure. Verse 22, a woman, if she maintain her husband, is full of anger, impotence, and much reproach. Verse 23, a wicked woman abateth the courage, making a heavy countenance, and woundeth the mind. A woman that will not comfort her husband in distress, making weak hands and feeble knees. Verse 24, of the woman came the beginning of sin, and through her we all die. Verse 25, give the water no passage, neither a wicked woman liberty, which gap abroad. Verse 26, if she go not as thou would have, if she go not as thou wouldest have her, cut her off from thy flesh, give her a bill of divorce, and let her go.
Is that the same thing Yahweh told Moses? And it was 6 million Israelites out there. And Yahweh heard them moaning, groaning, murmuring. He said, Moses, he's talking to Moses, there's 6 million people right there. It's Moses, I'm going to kill every last one of these moaners, groaners, and complainers. And I'm going to make you a greater nation. Well, if you kill all of them, like, what are you going to do? He got the power to do what he wanted to. You just ask Adam came out that ground, he'll pop a woman out that ground. So don't let no woman hold you hostage on the decision of thus says Yahweh. Because Yahweh can replace 6 million, you can replace the woman that give you back talk if you are Yahweh's man. Huh? So understand that what you say, the will of Yahweh, you make sure you talk Yahweh. Stand on it. And if it don't go the way you said it, according to thus says Yahweh, read verse 25 and 26 again. Now, this is what he said. We want to comment on what he said in 25 and 26.
The book of Sirach, chapter 25, verse 26 reads, Sirach 25, verse 25, give the water no passage, give a wicked woman liberty, which gab abroad. Verse 26, if she go not as thou wouldest have her, cut her off from your flesh, give her a bill of divorce, and let her go.
Can't get no plan in that. If she not a 726, if she not 726, then verse 26 or the 25th chapter kick in. That's the bottom line. If the mate that you with, is she not a 726? What it says, Sirach 726?
Sirach 7, verse 26. As your wife after your mind, forsake her not.
After, forsake her not, because she after your mind. This is what I want done. I'll see you later. And when I come to that door, she will be there. Looking good, smelling good, and everything set for Yahweh to come through that door. Supposed to be at the door when you come to that door. Ken, she just about ready to open it up and let it in. Now that makes the Yahweh of that family feel like the Yahweh queen. Because you know what he on ranch out there in that world. And the last thing he do is to hear more of what he just got through hearing out there in that world. So that's why the pillow got to kick in. You know, you folks ask, how was your day? I know it's rough out there. But look at the pillow that's waiting on you. See that? Now that will put some more life in it right there. But you got to understand something. You put the key in the door and try out the echo in the house somewhere. But then you go a little further. You got... what the name of that movie, that program called, Ricky caught Ricky and Lucy on and stuff. Ricky and Lucy on. Got Ricky and Lucy on. You see what's going on? See, this is what got this pop. And that's why you watch these old offspring that you don't have. They scared the old fear. That's why I know the Yahuwah. Because I was on the bus today trying to get around the scenes and do something. And just I ran about three, four little young ladies on the bus. Yeah, if that end don't be, if he don't be there and be right when I get there, I just might slap him first if I think he ain't doing right. I just might slap him, put my hand in his pocket, and kick him in the rear end. These old girls that we're in, they still a man. I said, well, see? And they turn around, look at the old seal. Old seal just turned his head. And I said, boy, I'll tell you one thing. That is something to think about. Ain't no raising in the family because the man is no longer in the family through the wicked society. But what happened, why the man is not there, it's because the wicked society and because the mate he have is not with him on one mind. Keep telling you that. Now, to go a little further, because one thing he says over here is that he's told on Timothy. He's now, Timothy, let me tell you something. I got you going pretty good now, but I'm going to tell you something in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. He's I'm going to tell you something, Timothy, because then now I'm going to put some oil on you to go oil everybody else. You oil everybody else after I lay the groundwork down to you. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 says what?
The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3, verse number 6 reads, book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3, verse number 6. Book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3, verse number 6 reads, not another, this being lifted up with pride, fall into the condemnation of the devil.
You know what a novice is? All of a sudden now the grass is green on the other side. Well, you know, I'm going to try that. My grass is green on the other side. That's a novice. And but then, all that is condemnation for saving the devil. That's all it is. You letting a novice that come from nowhere, get in your ear. Those being your ears, the six anointed camps, the voices of the truth is like the one that's anointed to show you what the Bible's saying and can help you on your feet. 1 Timothy 6, because he's going to tell you something in verse 3. He's going to tell you something real good. See, Paul got Timothy right. He got Titus right, too. He got both of them right and told him to take the bottle, go and get this bottle of oil but do business. According to what I tell you to do. 1 Timothy 6, 3 down to verse 8. Listen to this. Listen to what he says here in 1 Timothy 6, verse 3 down to verse 8. What do you say that, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 3 through 6 reads. 1 Timothy 6, verse number 3. Let a man teach otherwise. Because sit not to wholesome words, even the words of our Yahuwah the Son, to the teaching, doctrine, which is according to Yahuwahliness. Verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil, surmising. Verse 5, disputing of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. The pulling that gain is your qualiness. For such withdraw yourself. Verse 6. For your qualiness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content.
Read verse 7 again.
The book of 1 Timothy 6, verse number 7. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out.
You ain't brought nothing into this world. And he said, be of a surety, you ain't taking nothing out of this world. So if your mind is not stable on what you're supposed to be highly favored in, ever you accumulate in this world, you're going to leave it to the offspring. Because you ain't taking nothing out. Issachar's boy jumped into that. No, Issachar's boy, Job, he said, look at him. He said, I think Timmy pulled that from me. Let's run to Job 1. He said, I'm telling you something. Well, you know what? What you working hard for? Well, I'm trying to get this. I'm getting to get this. Oh, yeah? But what did Yahweh tell you to do? I'm trying to make sure that, listen, whatever you accumulate, look what Job says in Job 1:21-22. And I meet you over in a book called Luke 12. I think it's 12. I meet you in Luke 12. After you knock out that Job chapter 1, verse 21 and 22.
The book of Job, chapter 1, verse 21. Verse 22 reads, book of Job 1, verse 21. And said, they came out of my mother's womb. They shall I return thither. Yahweh gave. Yahweh has taken away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. Verse 22. And all this Job seeing not, to charge Yahweh foolishly.
So you see it is? Now that's called a Yahweh man. You understand one thing. Care what we accumulate. The way we got into this world, that's the same way we're going to leave this world. I don't care to do like the brother did back in the day, 2 years ago. He had so much money, he buried his son and put a whole lot of money in to his castle and closed the door. He had all kind of money in on his son, and it like his son could take some money with him. Like the old piece of preacher said, that he wants to. What's wrong with not having money? When I get to heaven, that's the kind of stuff. They've already bought you a $65 million jet. That you're out of order here. You could have bought all kind of scattered houses for the peoples of your neighborhood. You'll get your $65 million jet. And where you one of the other nations to sit there and get all hemmed up in there. You see you do? I'll leave that alone too. So you ain't bought nothing in, and we ain't taking none out. So that's the end of the conversation. So in the 12th chapter, we get a case in point in verse 16. So this is the mindset. That's why you got to make sure the mindset is sound like Bible to you. If you hear something don't sound like Bible to you, it's just a matter of time for it to fall to nothing. Now watch the mindset of this gentleman. In the 12th chapter of Luke, verse 16, and look what's saying, take it out of verse 21. Listen to what he say.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 16 to 21 read. Book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 16. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a rich man brought forth plentiful. Verse 17. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room wherewith to bestow my fruit. Verse 18. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barn, build greater. there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Number 19. And I will say to myself, O self, you have much good laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse number 20. But Yahweh said unto him, you fool, this night your life shall be required of you. Then who shall those things be which you have provided? Verse 21. So is he a sheep that lays up treasure for themselves and is not rich toward Yahweh.
My. Did you see that book he's saying? Yeah, I'm going to please the better half, and better half going to please me. We're going to go out and do this, and do this, and do this. But what happened to Yahweh? He said, let me pull a rabbit out of here. Well, he said it in Isaiah, Brother Yahdai Israel. He said something in Isaiah, Brother Yahdai Israel. He did say something. In Isaiah, what he says pertains to that. If you can help me out, Brother Yahdai Israel, I appreciate it. But he said something in the book of Isaiah pertaining to what we just got through saying. He said, look, I'm going to do all this good stuff. I'm going to get this and do this and do that. And Yahweh looking at, on his perspective, you ain't got him right. Just how I know I do for this fool. I'm going to cut this fool off. I'm going to cut this fool off. Then where all that stuff that he's talking about, who going to, see what he called him? A fool. He said, you're not rich in Yahweh. And that's what we keep telling you, Steve, right? Make sure you got your Yahweh right. In the 49th chapter, help me out, Brother Yahweh Israel. Do what he says in verse 16. 41:16. Say what? Read verse 15 just to make it sound good. Read 15 just to make it sound good.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse number 15.
49. Make it 49 there, Brother Yahdai. Make it sound good in the 49th chapter, verse number 15 and 16. Let's just make it sound good there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Come on.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 15, verse 16, read. Book of Isaiah 49, verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion of the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget. Verse 16. Behold, I have graven you upon the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me.
Mm-hmm. You shall see you. You know, I was looking at a verse early, but I ain't going to get it. I'll probably get it somebody in this week. When a testimony of Yahdai Judah, and he said he had a pretty good a run of things, but we'll bring it out sometime next week. What do you mean by that he got, that you in the palm, the whole world got it in your hand? So what's that supposed to mean? Precept that to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah 18, let's see what are you trying to say? Verse number 6 and 7. Let's see what it says in Jeremiah 18. What are you saying that we can read? No, I'll tell you what. Bring the one that brought that message down 5 through 7. So Jeremiah, whatever he was on, to here come a word of Yahweh to Jeremiah. It's pertaining to the Israelites. What it says in 8 and 7. What it says, Brother Yahdai Israel? Come on.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verse number 5 through 7 reads. Book of Jeremiah 18, verse 5. Then the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, verse 6. O family of Israel, did I not do with you as this potter save Yahweh? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O family of Israel. Verse 7. And what is it? I shall speak concerning the nation, concerning the kingdom. So pluck it, pluck up, pour down, and to destroy.
So he got the power to do whatever he wants to do. So if any time a person, they're like a person is your employer, a boss, or whatever you want to call it. He got the power to let you work 40 hours or 20 or 10 or 5 years. If he got that kind of power, you don't look at him, you being equal to him, do you? You know the separation because he got all the power. He can tell me, well, you were scheduled to go here. I'm going to suspend you for 2 weeks. This man got all the power in his hand, and we could read, but we're not going to read in the book called Zechariah 12:1-2, that the spirit of man is in his hand. He controls all that. And out of doggone, you let the world hem you up on taking care of this man's business. And this man say, I got the power to tell you, you a fool. If you're not rich in Yahuwah, and you're killing all this good stuff, and you're not rich in Yahuwah. Then he come right back to the 12th chapter and tell you something. He said, I tell you what, Luke, now they got you going to be a position and all kind of things. But don't even worry about it. But you put this down in your book for those that continue to think that you can please the world and have me as an afterburner. We're saying verse 29-31. Back to Luke 12:29-31. Let's see what he says. This is him in red talking. What he says in 29-31. What he said, take it to 32. Take it down to verse 32. 29-32, that's my final break. Oh, Brother Yahshua Israel, come on.
Book of Luke chapter 12. Verse 29-32 reads. Book of Luke chapter 12. Verse number 29. And seek not you what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be you of doubtful mind. Verse 30. For these things do the nations of the world seek after. Your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Verse 31. Rather seek you the kingdom of Yahuwah, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
What he call you again? That now listen, Yahuwah says to use this man as a allegory. This man was representing the whole 12 tribes of Israel. So you look at that thing that just like you just, you know, as that one man. No. When Yahuwah speaks, it's always a double meaning. This thing was bigger than you think. He was talking about the whole nation of Israel compacting to that man. How you will seek everything to do, then you put him as the afterburner. He tell you, you ought to stop doing that for your own good and make sure he is first. And then we read in the early chapter, Romans chapter 8:31, we ain't reading no more. If this man is for you, then who can be against you? See? Make sure what you're doing, the Bible support every move that you're doing. And when you minister to someone, make sure you minister to somebody what the Bible is saying to do with the precepts. Go to Titus. Now, he had to stop by and tell Titus something. Now, he had got Timothy right, didn't he? Yep. He told Titus. Now, that's another old guy old Paul was working with, old Titus. And he stopped by Titus in the third chapter and looked him eyeball to eyeball and told him something, 10, 11, 14, then get back to verse 8. Let's go to Titus 3, 10, 11, 14, then back up to verse 8. Let's see exactly what old Paul was talking to Timothy. What did he tell Timothy there? Brother Yahshua Israel. 23:14 and back to 8. Come on.
The book of Titus, chapter 3, verse number 10, verse number 11, 14, and verse number 8 reads. The book of Titus, chapter 3, verse number 10. A man that is a heretic after the first, the second admonition, reject. Verse number 11. Know that he or she that is such is subverted and sinned, being condemned of themselves. Verse 14. And that I also learned to maintain good works for necessary use, that they be not unfruitful. Verse 8. This is a faithful saying of these things I will that I affirm constantly, that they which have believed in Yahweh might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men and women.
Mm-hmm. But come back and put man and woman in verse 10 and 11. One more time, brother. But make sure you understand that you got to understand some of this man's saying. Come back again, and when you otherwise tell somebody something the first time, then you tell them the second time. Now, this is what the man's telling you to do. And you got to understand when this man's telling you something. When you tell somebody one time something, then you tell them the same thing again. Look, the man got it written. Read it right now. Come on, brother. Y'all got it right.
The book of Titus, chapter 3, verse number 10. A man or woman that is a heretic after the first, second admonition, reject.
Ain't that something? What do you mean by you're a heretic? Put that definition up there, brother Yahshua Israel. So when you tell a person something one time, an anointed leader of the six anointed camp, you told them something the first time, and you made it plain to them. You told them the second time. You know what Yahweh tell you to do behind that? Reject. I don't know you. That was Yahweh saying. Then you got the blessing of Yahweh, which you are told that person what not to do. You are told a couple sin before you what's going to befall you. Told them the first time. You told them the second time. To reject. You know what that means, see, Ray? I'm through with it. You can go about your business now. Because when we tell you something, it's because we tell you something according to thus says Yahweh. It's up to you to repent and do the right thing and thus says Yahweh. But time is too short from the round with anybody once you've told them what to do, walk, and act. And you got to go back and rehearse it again? Yahweh said, no, you're not doing me. You're doing yourself. It's something you're doing of your own. If you're doing me, then the reject come in place. I just say, see you, and I don't want to be you. And same thing Yahweh told Moses. He said, Moses, there's 6 million Israelites here. I'm going to kill every last one of them and make you a greater nation. So Yahweh can replace anybody. Don't let nobody hold you hostage when you tell somebody something the first time, and you have to come back and tell them the second time. That means they weren't paying you no attention. Then you reject it. All right. Do with that. And that's how you got to be if you're going to be in leadership of the six anointed camps. Put some Bible in place. You got to stop doing your own will. And that's why we're in trouble today. And that's why we, it's at the standstill. But he always sent a warner to you. And always a seal. And he anoint the elders to make sure you do things according to the Bible. You don't keep thumbing around with people that dragging their feet and all we got the why. It ain't no whys in the Bible. When you're told something to do, do it. Because that's coming from higher than just a regular person. Step to the plate and get the blessing of Yahweh and watch how things change. Follow the Bible. The Bible seems right, not your own mind. What you reading that, Brother Yahweh Israel?
Definition for a heretic.
Yeah, what did it say?
I'm reading from Merriam-Webster online dictionary, and it reads, definition of heretic, one who differs in opinion from an accepted.
The one that's different? Well, how are you going to be different if you got you a mate? Well, the Bible says that your mind got to be my mind. I mean, you don't think like, you think like I think now. So how you going to be a heretic to me? That means you folks think like me. What I say, you folks be just the blessing of Yahweh. What I think, that's the end of it. And that's how you folks to think. That when somebody come to you and you say, well, he said such a thing. Okay. Now what he said? Okay, that's the end of it then. What? You heard what I said. If my Yahweh said that, that's the end of it. If you tell me to limit them telephone calls of those that are outside of me, that's the end of it. Then that's the end of it. So I'm not receiving no more phone calls if he told me not to do it. That's when Yahweh gonna kick in. When you understand that when Yahweh gave authority to Adam, and the same Adam is the one in the household as we speak, then you have to obey and love doing it, the bottom line. Now, because if all that's said and done, a heretic, well, I think, what you mean, what you think? That ain't what I think. Oh, that's right. I will be, that's right, that's right. It's not what you think, what did I think. What if I want you to say something, I will tell you, then you say, I'm going to ask you, what you think about that, just to hear your opinion on something. But I'm going to make the first and last decision. I may ask you something. But in the same token, it's my call according to Yahweh. You want the blessing of Yahweh, this is how we got to roll. That's why calls about, well, I'd like to fly in and counsel me because I'm planning on getting with a mate. I said, yeah. I said, well, what y'all got in common? Well, I keep the Sabbath day. She working on it. She working on it. I said, no, she can't work on keeping the Sabbath day. You keeping the Sabbath day? She got to love keeping it because you love it. Huh? I said, you hear what I just said? She got to love keeping the Sabbath day because you love it. Because the closest Yahweh she going to get is through you. He said, we got to talk about a lot. I said, I know y'all talk about a lot. I'm going to tell you what time it is. You got to understand your role for the blessing to be in your family. But you're only going to hear it from the 6 and 9 accounts. From back to Matthew chapter 18. Let's kind of wind it down there, Brother Yahweh Israel. So that you are, because this is what Yahweh is saying in Matthew 18, verse 22 and 30. He's saying something. He's saying something. You know, he has something to say to everybody that picked the pen up. He ain't let them just go on their own. In Luke chapter 18, verse 22, what did he say? Then skip down to verse 30.
The book of Luke chapter 18. Verse number 22-30.
We'll make it 22 and 30. Verse 22 and 30.
The book of Luke, chapter 18. Verse number 22. Verse number 30 reads. Book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 22. Now when Yahweh the Son heard these things, he said unto them, yet lacks thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, distribute that to the poor. You shall have treasures in heaven. Come, follow me. Verse number 30. Who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting.
So what's important to you? What's important to you? What's important to you? Serving Yahweh and receiving sevenfold? What's important? What's important to you? Well, Yahweh saying that when all said and done, you ought to be trying to get eternal life. But you ain't bought nothing in this world and you ain't going to take nothing out. And if you ain't got me right, he's saying you ain't got nothing coming. And the worst thing you can do in a closing statement is to rot. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 36:14-16. And the worst thing you can do, according to Scripture, if you want to really get Yahweh to zero in on you, let me show you exactly what the worst thing you can do. I need to get your clock ticking quicker on you. We're going to 2 Chronicles, and we'll look at verse 14 out of 16. We're going to read, if you really want Yahweh to start zeroing in on you, let's see what he got written in 2 Chronicles 36:14-16. And a closing statement that Brother Yahweh Israel.
The book of Sirach, chapter 36, verse number 14-16 reads. The book of Sirach 36, verse number 14. Over all the chief of the priests, and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the nations and polluted the temple of Yahweh, which he had hallowed in Yahdah Judah. Verse 15. And Yahweh of their father sent to them by his messenger, rise and up, beat down the sinners, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Verse 16. But they mocked the messenger of Yahweh, and despise his words, misuse his fear, until the wrath of Yahweh rose against his people, because there was no remedy.
So, no remedy whatsoever but to do some damage to you when you mock the ones that have been anointed to tell you, thus says Yahweh. The last thing you do is say what or why. You step up to the plate because Yahweh sent a message through anointed leadership. It is for you to accept that message and move on. But if you don't accept that message and move on, Yahweh said it's going to be without remedy on you. We leave it like that. Brother Yahdai Israel, what's your closing statement behind that? You on the clock, come on.
Hallelujah, choir, hallelujah, choir, hallelujah, choir. Love the way it's rolling out, see Israel, a sea voice. Great work, King, to the four corners of the globe. Praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah, choir.
Hallelujah, choir. All right, we'll go and see if we can find the elder and get his final remarks on tape number 19. And remember one thing, that great big old broadcast is on its way, only minutes away in Pal Talk Room. And remember one thing, when you ask the elders, there got to be something pertaining to what you just got through hearing. If you want to bring your own thing to the table, then you out of order, period. Because you got to hear something to tell something. And if you're not hearing the sixth anointed cap tell you something, then how you going to ask about something? Huh? Keep that in your mind. We're going to bring the elder in for his final thoughts on take 19. You on the clock, elder. Mr. Tibbs, come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Sir Israel. And thank you for bringing me back into tonight's broadcast. And we welcome and thank all of you for continuing to listen. Well, we heard something that struck quite a bit of interest a bit ago during the early portion of your broadcast. And you were mentioning there's becoming a food shortage. Well, a lot of people have not directly focused on things every day. You know, like in Matthew 16:3, not recognizing the signs of the times. What's going on? You don't see as many butterflies as you used to. The environment is changing. Grasshoppers used to be plentiful, flying around, buzzing, clicking all on the windows and everything. People slowly forget those things. They don't think about why they haven't seen them as much. A lot of flies, though, I'll tell you that. One of the things that prosper our food in a produce area for the farmers, we have gotten blessed with that. Bee honey. Bees have been dying off all around the world for a decade now. Nobody's never paid any attention to it. From a phenomenon called colony collapse disorder, or CCD. A third of the U.S. food supply depends on the honeybees this and every year afterwards. The U.S. experienced the highest loss of honeybee population so far, with most of the nation's beekeeper losing anywhere from 50 to 90% of their bee population. Many of the 6,000 almond orchard owners in California could not even find enough bees to pollinate their almond trees at any price. This is something you really have to think about. Pollinization, that's a very important thing of growing certain crops. This year and last year, the collapse of the bee colony is probably a multi-fractional, but of a major factor is the toxicity of the Semitic pesticides called nicolloids, which kills insects by attacking their nervous systems. In May, beekeeper environment groups filed a lawsuit last year against the agency over its failure to protect the bees from toxic pesticides. This is something you really have to think about. This was done by Dr. McCullough, M-E-R-C-O-L-A. That was a research that was done by them. For several years now, the scientists have been struggling to determine why bee colonies across the world are disappearing. It's a phenomenon that has dubbed many collapse. It had to do with a colony, the collapse disorder, the CCD. As reported by Dan Rather, the United States has recently experienced, as I said before, the highest loss of honeybee population so far, with most of the nation's beekeepers losing anywhere from 50 to 90% of their bee population. Where's the honey coming from? Honeybees are perhaps one of the most least recognized workers in the agriculture industry. They contribute at least $15 billion in annual revenue to the U.S. and the U.S. economy alone. As a full one-third of the American food supply depends on them populating the crops. So you have to think, yeah, there's going to be a food shortage, and there already is, and slowly getting less and less. Just about every fruit and vegetable you can imagine depends on pollinization services of bees, apples, orchids. For instance, requiring one colony of bees per acre in order to be adequately pollinated. So unless the mysterious disappearance of bees is reverse, the major food shortages could result, as the seer had said earlier. Another factor is that bees' diets are not exactly healthy foods. This is one point you need to focus on. But often consist of junk foods in the form of sugar or corn syrup. Now, where do they get that from? We take their honey and we give them junk food, which do not contain the pollen that stimulates their resistance to disease. Finally, there's been a reduction in the variety of flowers on which the bees feed on because of monoculture farming and suburban development. All these factors add up, and others that weaken the bees. The bees have an extreme uphill battle. So most of the honey that you see that you have in your hand, you should cherish it. This is a Yahuwah's gift, and it is diminishing as I speak. Some of the six most common predators in the wild for bees. Number one, the bears. They're probably the first thing that comes to your mind when thinking about bee predators. So skunks, as you probably know, to know that a skunk has raided your beehive, You'll find remnants of bees lying all around the outside of the hives. They do a pretty good job of destroying a beehive. The other is bee wolves, or a.k.a. wasps. Bee wolves are known as wasps. These nasty insects prefer to eat the bees and use them to feed their developing group. The other is crab spiders. It's no secret for the reason of crab spiders. They build a web to catch other insects and feast on the bees also that land in them. And you have another thing called hive beetles. These are small hive beetles. It's another infestation bug that infiltrates the beehive and sets up shop. Well, the bee has already done their job, and they have to work all winter long to stay alive for the next spring to start this process all over again. So we do have to do some serious thinking about food shortages and the things that we have around us that provide our normal way of living. So knowing that, to help guide you through these dark times that we speak about, and especially of the wrong Christianity teaching, we welcome and thank all of you for attending this broadcast of Yahuwah's Ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about foods for your health that you should eat. Keeping the Sabbath days, connecting the Bible books to your biblical education. And we do this because you have not. This is information you all came to seek. But now you found out what you sought in Yahuwah's Ministry. That's open unto you from 6 to 9 p.m. And the days, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. No class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. Top part of the Sabbath on Friday starts at 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. The bottom part of the Sabbath, which is Saturday, temple class starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 until the temple members desire to leave. Now, we also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine. Right on the search line, type www.tribeyhdh.com. After you click on it, just under the line, you're going to see choices. One, which is tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you may see menu. But after clicking this, you'll still see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. While doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory to his name, and bring an offering, and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves the cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give what's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah live. Also to go to school, banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah. Also, while there, don't forget to check the calendar. Keep yourself in tune with the feast days for you, family, and friends that come throughout the year. Live programs, this is another feature that's available during live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine. Right on the search line, type 3 words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, you'll find True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into our live online broadcast. We're using also 2 email addresses for our contact. The first is tribe, that's tribeyhdh@gmail.com, to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject or related topics answered. The other is yhdhysraeel@gmail.com. Now, the numbers you can righteously contact us with Yahuwah in mind, the first is the live conference room number. It would be 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number where you can call, leave messages on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 6 anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15, except for Fridays. Program will be repeated after 9:45. To get there, write on the search line for three words, Yakwa Radio Live. After clicking it, just choose the program you are late logged into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, as was said earlier, after the normal broadcast and doing the broadcast, we're now on Paltalk, listed under ethnic groups, African American. Look for Yakwa True Name Teachers. This is where Yakwa's words will also be working for your personal Bible questions. Online there to be to answer any questions about the discussed Bible topics will be Elder Josiah or Elder Mr. Tibbs with Seer Israel. No comments will be taken off these topics or multiple text questions answered as has been seen before. Failure to follow these righteous acts, either elder will block or restrict misuse. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, teaching will continue on Pal Talk. So at this time, don't forget the serious things about the food that was mentioned. You can take note on that. You can find this research on YouTube or in Wikipedia. It is very well listed. We will turn our program back over to our seer Israel. Keep your Bibles open. Continue to take notes. You'll find that there's a lot to learn. Alu Yakwa.
Hallelujah, Mr. Tim. That's right. That's right, elders. That's exactly right. It's a whole lot to learn. We be writing down as fast as we can get it ourselves to pass it on. And one thing we're trying to tell you, see, right? That's why we're here to serve. We're here to serve. But one thing about it, you got to step to the plate and start looking at this Bible a little more closer. Because Yakwa is, you know, this ministry is going to be the ministry to tell you exactly what's written. It's up to you to remove your whys and what and all that, and swell up like the Hulk, and just pay attention to what is read to you through precepts and everything to correct you on how to help yourself and your family. I'm going to leave it like that. Remember one thing, the broadcast immediately following us, it will be the elders, and any questions or comments or whatever they got on the table, come in with big ears and little mouth, take notes. Because they are anointed to show you what the Bible is saying to correct yourself and your family, to be inspired to help others. You got it? Good. Tune in about 9 o'clock on Power Talk. All right, we'll go find the mothers and bring the mothers in. We're going for the close. And then we'll look for Mother E and Mother D up Israel, Mother C, all of them. Look for the mothers coming out of Camp 1. And one thing about it, when you meet the mothers out of Camp 1, Mother T.F. Israel, Yakwa bless you, C. Roy.
Yakwa bless you, C. Israel of C. Roy. Hallelujah, Yakwa.
Hallelujah, Yakwa, that Mother T.F. Israel. Mother E., Mother Z., coming out of the tribe of Yahda Judah. Yakwa bless you, that mother.
Yakwa bless you, C. Israel.
Hallelujah. Yeah, right. Excellent. You know, we have a lot of questions on the table that mothers and y'all do know of it. But one thing we do know, in Sirach, Mother D.F. Israel, what is written in Sirach 41, 12 through 14? Take a look at something in Sirach
41:12-14. Can you help me out there, Mother D.F. Israel?
And Sirach 41, 12 down to verse 14. What's that say?
Sirach 41.
See, yes,
my Sirach book. My Sirach is
kind of
messed up
right now. All right, well, hold up your Sirach, Dan. Mother E., take a look at Sirach 41, 12 through 14. Let's see what that say, Mother E. Sirach 41, 12 through 14. Let's see what's going on there.
The book of Sirach, chapter 41, verse 12 to 14. Verse 12. Carry regard to thy name, for that shall continue with thee. Above 1,000 generation of gold. A thousand great treasures of gold. Verse 13. A good life has but few days, but a good name endures forever. Verse 14. My children, keep discipline and peace for whom that is hid and treasure that is not seen. What profit is in them both?
That's a problem. Mm-hmm. Take that, read that last 14 again. So he's trying to tell you something. Listen, a good name is when you always practice and keep that YHWH in front of you. That's a good name. We read over there in 8:31. If he for you, who can be against you? All that old good stuff. We read it already. But he's letting you know something in 14. That mother E. What he saying that verse 14 again?
Rock, chapter 41, verse 14. My children, keep discipline and peace. For wisdom that is and treasures that is not seen, but profit is in them both.
That means you got a talent for the Almighty and you don't apply your talent that you got for Yahweh, then what good is you? What good is if you got a talent? See, Yahweh has blessed the 12 tribes of Israel. But then he picked one tribe out of the 12 tribes and gave them a little bit more. We're going to take a look at that in that book called, it's called The Testimony of Yahdah Judah. We're gonna examine that a little bit one day soon, because he laid a lot of blessings was laid on Judah, because he knew Judah was gonna be the stand up tribe of all of them to take care of his business, and that message got to get out. Mother C of Israel, what it says in the 5th chapter, verse 13-16. Of a book called Matthew. What do Matthew say in Matthew 5:13 down to verse 16? What did it say that mother D of Israel see, Roy?
Matthew chapter 5, verses
13 to 16.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. Verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hidden. 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. 16, let your light so shine before men and women that they may see your good works and honor your Father, which is in heaven.
So he wants you to let your light shine before men and women. See, he wants to make sure your light shines. And what you both be showing is your good works. And that's what he wants. He created people to let their light shine. See, you gotta let your light shine for you before me. Mother, what it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 down to verse 24 and 33. What it says, Mother E, we're looking at Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24 and verse 33. He's saying you got to let your light shine. So the only way you let your light shine is something you got to do that we can read. Matthew 6, 19 to 24 and 33. Mother E, my final verdict, come on.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24 and verse 33. Verse 19. Lay not up for treasure. Lay not up for yourself treasure upon the earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Verse 20. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your mind be also. Verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Verse 23. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkened, how great is that darkness? Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve Yahweh and Mammon. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I read verse 22 again, that Mother E. Now you know you got the bombshell down, Mother E. You laid it in so plain that it probably got past 3/3 or maybe 90% of everybody in that verse 22. Now you dropped the bombshell, Mother E. Read that verse 22, what you just got through saying. Read.
Okay, Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore that eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light.
Hey, that's something. That big talk there. He said the eye is the light of the body. And if that be single, so if that means Mother E of Israel. What is he trying to tell us behind that verse? He's trying to tell us something there, Mother E of Israel. Let's see what he's trying to tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. He's trying to tell us something there, Mother E of Israel, but we got the precept there to see what is you trying to tell us. We go on to 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 2. What did he say? Remember that? If your eye be single. He's saying a whole lot, but we got to run it down a little bit. What are you talking about? Mother E. Mother D of Israel, chapter 11, verse 2. Corinthians, come up.
2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 2. For I am jealous over you with Yahwali jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Yahwah the Son.
Ain't that something? See, he has put you upon the one husband. In And that one husband is Yahweh the Son. So your eyes do not supposed to see Christianity, Islam, Judaism, what man can do to you. All you supposed to know what this Yahweh can do to you. Because he said something about Mother Dear of Israel. He said something in St. John chapter 8, verse 12. Let's see if we break that down about that light. He tells you something. You got to get your light right. Mother Dear of Israel. St. John chapter 8, verse 12 says what?
St. John chapter 8, verse 12. St. John chapter 8, verse 12, and it reads, Then spake Yahweh the Son again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Yeah. So what he's trying to tell you, if your eyes single, then you will see the program of Yahweh's program. You will see his program. When you see his program, you ain't got no what's. You be all about the doing. Come on back off, Modea of Israel 9, verse 4. See, you got to see his light. And the only way we can see his light is by reading the record of his light. Let's see what his light is in 9, verse 5.
In 9, verse 5 of 2 St. John.
Thank you. 9, verse 5. And Mother D, Mother E, have me Numbers 15, 1, 2, and 37 through 40. So you got to see his light. You got to get away from the darkness of man's light. We're going to see, can we run down his light? Come on, Mother D up Israel. Give me St. John 9, verse 5.
St. John chapter 9, verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
Yeah. So now, so if your eyes single, you will see his program. And his program is written in the heavenly tablets called the first five books. What is his program that Mother E? Numbers 15, 1, 2, 37 down to verse 40. What is this program? You're supposed to see this, and when it's brought to your attention, you're supposed to have the urgency to have your light shine before men. Numbers 15, 1, 2. Then skip down to 37 through 40. Mother E, come on.
Okay. Numbers 15, verses 1, 2. 37 to 40. Numbers chapter 15, verse 1. And Yahweh speak unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, unto them, when you be called into the land of your habitation, which I give unto you. Verse 3. And we'll make an offering by fire unto the Yahweh, or a sacrifice in performing a vow, or in a freewill offering, or in your solemn feast, to make a sweet savor unto the Yahweh of the herd or of the flock. Verse 37 reads, And the Yahweh speak unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generation, and that they put upon fringes of the border a ribbon of beauty. 39. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments, Torah instructions of the Yahweh, and do them. And that you seek not after your own mind and your own eyes, after which you used to go for horn. Verse 40. That you may remember and do all my Torah instructions and be righteous unto Yahweh.
Let's run in 1 Chronicles chapter 9, Mother E, and look at verse 24. Now, each child tell you now, you might be a great designer and everything, but Yahweh is going to tell you exactly what he wants to be done. He said, be ye followers of me, let your light shine before men. Because if he called in from the beginning, he's telling you something very important about having friends in your clothing. He's telling you something, but you got to pay him some more attention, and that's when your eyes become single, when you're paying him some attention. 1 Chronicles 9:24 says what, Mother E?
1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 24. In four quarters, where the quarter towards the east, west, north, and south.
What do you think you mean by that? You say when you got your fringes on, you got to be on four quarters, all the way around in your garments, not one here, one there, one there, one there. All around north, east, south, north, east, south, and west, fringes should be on your clothing. Let's see what that means. Let's go to Isaiah 40, verse 21, 22 there, Mother E. We're going to Isaiah. What that means about north, east, south, west with them fringes on. I've been hearing that they following the Jewish way by having one in front, one on the side, one in the back. No. That's Jewish way. That's Esau and his five sons. You got to pay attention to what the Bible telling you and that stop doing a counterfeiter through the other nations. Isaiah 40, 21 and 22 says what, Mother E?
Okay, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 21 and verse 22. Verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have not it been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? Verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretches out the heaven as a
curtain. That's good enough. So he just said, a circle. Your fringes supposed to be in a circle. All the way around your garments. A circle. All the way around. Not some here, some there. No, a circle. So he sits on a circle. Circle. Let's get one more in and close the statement there, Mother E. Give me Deuteronomy 22, 5 and 12 in the closing statement. We're going to Deuteronomy 22, verse 5 and 12. So when you're putting your fringes on your garments, make sure they go all the way around. Not one in front, one on the left, right in the back. No. That's Esau and his five sons, the one they call Jewish way. You got to do it the Bible way to get your blessing. Put the fringes on your clothing.
Yeah.
Let's see, this says in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5 and 12. And Mother D of Israel, help me, Isaiah chapter 17 and 24 waiting on me. Let's see what it says, Mother E, 22, verse 5 and 12 in the closing statement.
Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 5 and 12. Verse 5. The woman should not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto Yahweh, your Yahweh. Verse 12. Thus shall make the fringes upon the four quarters of their vesture, wherewith thou closest thyself.
You make fringes on the four quarters of your garments to clothe yourself. That means your fringes go down past your ankle, not three quarters up past your knees. You can't do the designer. You got to clothe yourself. Mother Eve, what's your closing statement until we get back on? We'll get back to Motor Bar. You on the clock? Come on.
Thank you and praising Yahweh for another class. Thank you and praising Yahweh for this year. And thanking and praising Yahweh for each and every one that's listening to the class. And just thanking and praising Yahweh.
All right. That's excellent again there, Mother. Mother E. Mother Z. Excellent. And it was all about, you always give thanks and praises to the Almighty Yahuwah, and that's why we come to bring you instructions. The reason why we in the condition we in right now, because Yahuwah can't recognize us. Our eyes is not single. See, if eyes single, you're going to follow what Yahuwah got on the table. You're going to be contrary to what the world got on the table. Mother D.F. Israel, let's see what we got in. Now, he's talking to Isaiah. Now, he's Isaiah. I want to talk to you a little bit. In the third chapter, verse 17 and 24. What did he say there, Mother D.F. Israel, C. Roy? What did he say?
I can't get, you said the third chapter?
So, let's look at Isaiah chapter 3. And we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 3, verse 17 and 24.
Isaiah chapter 3, verses 17 and 24. Verse 17. Therefore, Yahuwah will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Yahda Judah, and Yahuwah will discover their secret parts. Verse 24. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smelling, there shall be stink in an instant of a girdle, a rent. And instead of whales, their hair baldness, and instead of a stomach, a girdle of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty.
Now, what do you mean by that? What he's saying, here, it's going to come to pass that what I got written about these fringes and wand and dresses and wearing pants, they're going to be wearing spandex. And that spandex, it carries heat, see, right? When you walk around with them spandex on, that only attracts heat. You can't breathe. You shut up. If they gonna come up past, they will not be wearing dresses. They gonna be wearing pants, Bermuda shorts, and spandex. And when you do all that, you shutting up. You can't breathe. And what's gonna happen to you by you can't breathing? You gonna have some Isaiah 3:24. When you do take them things down, you will have some 3:24. Now read again with that understanding. And that's why he's telling you in advance by calling the end from the beginning. When a woman is wearing spandex pants or Bermuda shorts, you're closed in. You can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he put on them dresses, but you can breathe down there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he got 24 right here. what he's saying here. For Isaiah tell them, by wearing all that shed-in clothing, you can't breathe. And this is what's going to happen to you once you pull that stuff down. 324, come on.
Isaiah chapter 3, verse 24. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smells, there shall be stink. And instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of stomach, a girdle of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty.
And you know what he mean by burning, don't you? So that,
yeah.
That I can't think of the name. Now you got to go buy you a bottle of that, cool them down now. And all because of one thing about it, you want to set yourself up. Now you got to have your body and your purse or cool you down. Instead of taking off them tights, Bermuda shorts, and what they call them things, spandex, and put them down to the side and put on a dress where you can breathe with some fringes on it. Now you got to go spend some additional money for that. I can't think of the name of it right now. Can you tell the name of what I'm talking about, Mother D. F. Israel? Called?
Yeah.
Money, it's called money. What's the name of
it? It's a yeast infection.
You see that? And then
it's
now
burning.
You got to go out and spend you. Yeah. It's going to burn you.
Yeah, get some medicine
and then,
for it.
You don't know why you're burning. And now you got to go. Now you go on to find out what can you do to stop the burning. So they're going to send you to the, give you a prescription or go to the, one of them pharmacies. Now you got to buy this bottle because you bought so much money to spray down there to cut the burning down instead of coming out of the spandex, the Bermuda shorts, and the pants because you're not zipping up anything and do what the man tell you to do. And that's when your eyes is single, when you follow instructions of Yahuwah. And that's why these old 37:12 men supposed to understand one thing. You got to know the rules of Yahuwah, and you got to be clear that what you said you can read. So you have to lead by example. All that shut up, and now you got to go buy additional $10, $15 to keep cool down there, and all of a sudden you take them down, and you got to go raise the window up real quick. Got to raise the window up real quick. So you see, what we're trying to tell you is how to help yourself. Get in these fringes. Make your eyes is single. And Yahuwah will bless starting this ministry, but we'd be a blessing to the world, and Yahuwah will intervene. Because Yahuwah in 12:36 in the closing statement there, Mother D.F. Israel, let's see what Yahuwah, what was he working with in Matthew's 12:36.
Okay.
Matthew 12, he said, be follower of Yahuwah the Son. Let's find out what was he working with in 12:36 of Matthew in a closing statement.
Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men or women shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment.
Verse 37 in closing statement.
37. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned.
Right.
I want to read.
So that's why. Yeah, take your time. Bring your closing statement. We'll get back on it tomorrow.
I want to read Psalms 128. Blessed is everyone that fears Yahuwah, that walketh in his ways. Verse 2. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hand. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with you. Verse 5. Now, verse 4. Behold, that thus shall the man or woman be blessed that fears Yahweh. Verse 5. Yahweh shall bless you out of Zion, Yahweh Judah, and thou shalt see the good of Yahweh Judah all the days of your life. Verse 6. Thou shalt see your children's children and peace upon Israel. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Esther, Moe, Z, D up Israel. Catch you all tomorrow night for some more. And one thing about it, see, Ray, this man called in from the beginning. We're going to have to make our eyes single. And our single eyes is what pleases him, not what pleases the world. We got to do what Yahweh got written in his Bible to get our blessing. And the head of the family's got to make sure when you open your mouth, you reading what the Bible saying, not what your daddy said, what the Bible saying, and bless the family through your lead. Because your word will be the beginning of it and the ending of it. But you got to be a Yahwali man to be so. So we're going to leave it like that and get your eyes single and some dust as Yahweh. But we can get the blessing and be able to, for Yahweh to intervene. He did say in the 18th chapter of Matthew, I got them. I'm going to get every last one of them. But when I come back in verse 5 of the 18th chapter of Luke, will I find anybody doing my covenant? So keep that in your mind. So we're going to leave it like that, and Yahweh be with you all until we meet again tomorrow. And now we are all tuned to the Path Talk. And we'll listen to the elders. And one thing about it, if you got any questions or comments or tell you anything we don't say in this lesson or whatever they got on the table, then bring that up. Don't just bring in anything you ain't got, you ain't heard nothing, but you want to talk. Talk about what you heard or what they put on the table. You got it? Good. Enough said on that. Yahweh be with you all, and we'll catch you all on Path Talk, on Blog Talk, and now we're going to switch to Path Talk. And Yahweh bless you. Shalom.